So for those of you who don't know me, my name is John. Normally, I... Hello. She has my name tag for some reason. I'm not really sure why. She's not John. I promise you, I am the real John. But normally, I'd be leading worship, doing what Dave did this morning. Can we give him a round of applause? He did an awesome job. So a few weeks ago, me, Beth, and Zach Wolf went to the Christian Youth Leader Conference in San Diego, California. And there was this guy that spoke, and his name was Dr. Epstein. And he was the most boring speaker that I've ever heard. I can honestly say that I don't remember anything that he had to say. One thing that he did say that I actually did remember was he showed a picture of a brain. And he said that if you show a picture of a brain at the beginning of your message, then... like, students are going to be more willing to listen. And so as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, like, if I show you guys a picture of a brain, you guys aren't going to listen to me. But if I show you a YouTube video of a dog talking, you guys might be more willing to. So,
food. You know, I just couldn't stop thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I went to the fridge, and I opened up the meat drawer. You know what the meat drawer is, right?
Yeah. What's in there?
Well, I'll tell you what was in there. You know that bacon that's like maple? It's got maple flavor?
The maple kind, yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I took that out. And I thought,
yeah.
I know who would like that. Me. So I ate it.
Oh, no. Kidding me.
Nope. Not kidding. You know, I also noticed there was some beef in there. Yeah, you know, steak. You know, juicy. Well, I ate that, too. But I went back to the fridge just a few minutes ago, and I put something together really special. You're going to love this one. I took some chicken.
Yeah.
I put some cheese on it, and I covered it with...
Covered it with what?
I covered it with cat treats. Then guess what?
What?
I gave it to the cat.
All right, so obviously that has... nothing to do with what I'm about to tell you, but I got all of your attention for about 2 minutes, so that's awesome. So we all have wild dreams. Some dreams that we have are self-sacrificing dreams. Some dreams that we have are selfish dreams. Some seem completely unattainable. Some are really small dreams. The last few weeks, we've been highlighting several students here in Student Union who have wild dreams and have been chasing after those dreams. Whether that dream is to raise $10,000 for one meal one day, or whether that dream is to be a social worker in another country. Our students here in Student Union have wild dreams and have been chasing after those. Today we're going to be talking about Peter's wild dream. So I want you guys to turn with me to Matthew 14, verse 22. Matthew 14 is right before Matthew 15. And after Matthew 13. All right, so verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." When they crossed over the land at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. All who touched him were healed. So the first thing I want you guys to write down is the fact that Peter had a dream and asked God to fulfill that dream. I'll repeat that. Peter had a dream and he asked God to fulfill that dream. Now, why is this important? If we aren't continually challenging ourselves with what God is going to do in our lives, we may lose sight of what he actually wants for us. Christ only wants the best for us. We are born selfish and sinful, and we will fall every time unless we are constantly talking to him. So the first thing that you need to do is ask what God's will is. Now, the second thing that I want you guys to write down is the fact that God fulfilled his dream. Peter asked for something not physically possible. What happens when, like, if I were to try and walk on water? I would sink, right? Water is not meant to be stood upon. Even when the lake is frozen, we constantly hear stories of people falling into them. So, if your dream seems like it's completely unattainable, God can provide a way to make it happen. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says to be praying without ceasing. Now, I remember this one time that Dave and Sonder had me over for dinner one night. And it was right around the time that they had just gotten their dog, Lucy. And have any of you guys met Lucy? What kind of dog is she? A little beagle, right? She's an awesome dog. But this was, so she was relatively young, a puppy. And so this is right before we start to eat. And Dave starts to pray and he says, "Dear God, I pray that Lucy would make intelligent decisions. And I pray that she wouldn't pee on the carpet anymore." And of course, I started laughing at that because Dave wasn't asking for something that is completely possible. Like, Lucy's a dog. Sure, she knows learned behavior, but she cannot make intelligent decisions. So I remember Dave finished his prayer, and without missing a beat, he said, "If I don't pray for it, it's not going to happen." And I remember, like, dinner went on, and I drove home that night, and I sat and thought about that answer, and I just thought about how accurate he was with that and how right he actually was. The third thing that I want you guys to write down is what happens when we have a wild dream but we lose sight of it. So what I want you guys to do is just talk amongst your neighbor and try and come up with an answer to that. What happens when we have a wild dream but we lose sight of it? Mm-hmm. So yeah, talk amongst your neighbor about that real fast. Yeah, you can write down what your answer was. All right, take about 15 more seconds. We'll wrap it back up in that. All right, and we'll wrap that up. All right, so what were some of the things that you guys came up with?
It doesn't happen. You would settle for less.
You would settle for less. John Cain, good job.
Thank you, John.
What else? You would what? You'll get a new dream. Okay. What else? So far we've heard that we'll settle for less, and then that God could provide a new dream, right? Is that kind of what you're thinking?
I'm saying, like, if you stop, like, wanting something,
yeah,
then you'll probably want something else.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So she said if we stop wanting something, then we'll probably want something else. Do you guys have any other answers? What was that? You'll lose hope. Okay? So, now what I believe is that Peter didn't doubt Jesus. He actually doubted himself. If you turn with me to verse 24, it says, "But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it." Now, do you guys know what the definition of buffeting is? I know it looks like buffeting, but that's totally different. It's not an all-you-can-eat thing. What was that? Verse 24. The definition of buffeting is the action of striking something repeatedly and violently. Now, as I was preparing for this, I was trying to think if I've ever been in a situation like where, you know, if I was on a boat and waves were crashing overboard. And really, we live in Arizona, so we don't have an ocean, right? And the closest thing that I could think of was like being caught in a dust storm. I remember, do you guys remember that first dust storm that we had, the Haboob, that was like the first one of the summer? We were fixing one of my buddy's cars at Chandler Mall, and I remember I looked over, and there's this just wall of dust coming, and I was like, crap, Kyle, like, we got to go right now. Like, you got to pick up your tools, we got to go right now, right? And so we got caught driving in it. Invisibility was maybe like 8 to 10 feet, super dangerous. I saw signs being blown over. I saw trees being uprooted, like branches were flying everywhere. And I imagine that Peter felt the exact same way. Let's see. If you turn with me to verse 29, it says, "Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" So what happens when we have a wild dream, but we lose sight of it and begin to sink? We need to cry out to Jesus to come save us. Now, if you read in verse 31, what is that first word?
Immediately.
Immediately. So how fast will Jesus save us?
Immediately.
All right, the fourth thing that I want to focus on is the fact that the other disciples just sat in the boat. Beth had five dreams that she talked about last week. Do you guys remember what those were?
iPhone,
okay. What's the other four? Yeah, Cassandra.
A thousand arrows.
Good backyard. Adopt a child. Loving family, okay. Now, were the disciples that were in the boat, were they chasing after a wild dream, or were they sitting there on their iPhone? If I have an iPhone, so I'm not trying to bash on iPhones. I love them. But Peter had a wild dream. It seemed completely unattainable. But rather than chasing after an iPhone, he chose to go after Jesus. So are you guys going to sit on your iPhone while life passes you by, missing out on what Christ has called you to do? Or are you going to chase the dream, no matter how ridiculous it may seem? Now, when Beth asked me to speak 2 weeks ago, I was super hesitant. Tons of excuses came into my head. I'm not a good communicator. The students aren't going to relate to what I'm saying. I don't know what to do with my hands. Like I don't have a guitar in front of me, so it's like super awkward. Like I don't want to look like this. Like that's super awkward looking, right? Beth told me that the title of the message was going to be "Dare You to Move." So number one, I said yes to this because it's a song and I can relate to that. And number two, what would I be proving to myself by saying no to a "Dare You to Move" message? Like that, like even though I don't feel like I'm a great communicator and a great public speaker, that's just something that I need to get over with. So last week we played that song, "Dare You to Move," and there's one line in there that I really want to focus on, which is the fact that it's, the tension is here, the tension is here, between who you are and who you could be, between how it is and how it should be. I feel like those are profound words, and I think it relates to exactly what we're talking about. Who you are as children of God, and God has a plan for each and every one of you guys. He only wants the best for you. Whether that plan may be something as simple as just getting along with your mom and dad, or it could be something as big as being a missionary in China, God has a plan for you. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to close by playing that song. And what I want you guys to do is stay seated. I want you to write down what you think God is calling you to do. If you guys don't know what that is, then definitely write that down. If you are clear on what God's plan is for you, then I want you guys to take time and write down the steps that you guys need to take to get there. So you guys can start doing that now. Father God, I just pray that you would reveal what your will is to all of us. And that we would just choose to follow you and choose to chase after whatever wild dream you have in our heart. I just thank you for this time. I thank you that I have the opportunity to share your word. And I just pray that as we respond in worship, that we would just be moved. And in Jesus' name, amen.